Light of Worship, your source for commentary and discussion on worship, theology, and culture. I'm your host, Dr. Jonathan Michael Jones.
Well, hello and good day to you. This is Dr. Jonathan Michael Jones. Welcome to the Act of Worship podcast. It is good to be here today discussing and thinking about matters related to worship, theology, and culture. And today I am talking about a theological issue and really a worship issue as well. And something that I have discussed in limited detail in the past because this topic really resonates from the center and the core of who I am, and that is worship, the true purpose of missions. And so my focus today, my aim is going to be talking about worship and its relation to missions and why it is the very point of missions. I come from a tradition which recognizes the importance of missions. I come from a Southern Baptist tradition. The Southern Baptist Convention has the largest missions organization in the history of Christianity, the International Mission Board. And so I come from a tradition which recognizes the importance of missions, but sometimes I think many people, not just Southern Baptists, many people, most people probably who are Christians, miss the point. The end means of missions. Many believers are passionate about missions and they devote their entire lives to God's call and this task. But I contend that the purpose of missions is often lost in the church. If you ask 100 different people to describe the purpose of the Christian life, you'll probably get 100 different answers. But the purpose of life and indeed of missions is, it's simple and broad, and that is worship. That is the purpose of everything. And by worship, what I mean is glorifying God. And by keeping worship at the forefront of life, the church's purpose is not only ameliorated, but also aligned with the desire of God himself. And so on this topic, there are three primary imperatives which I think the church should be mindful of and which I think will aid in a God-centered focus in missional endeavors. So number one, we need to remember always that worship is glorifying God, not just music. Contrary to popular opinion, worship cannot solely be defined as music. In fact, music, although significant to corporate worship, now hear me on that, I am not diminishing the significance of music in corporate worship, but music is in fact a small part of worship. The church has not done a good job of distinguishing between worship and music, and in the titles Christians use and the lingo when discussing worship, the church has given the false perception that music is synonymous with worship. And how often do you hear something like this? The worship was so good today. And usually when you hear that, the person is obviously referring to the music. And this is done, if you're a worship leader or you're on a worship team and you use Planning Center Online, you know that often Planning Center will distinguish that they'll put worship, prayer, worship, sermon. But what they do a bad job of reflecting that all of it is worship. I wish they would change that. I wish they would say it's music, not worship. And so people get the message that worship is synonymous with music. Even corporate worship includes various acts besides music. And as I've already mentioned, some prayer, preaching, communion. And so a broad but good definition for worship is glorifying God. In both Greek and Hebrew, the biblical words for worship infer either an attitude or a service rendered. Neither refers to music. And so if worship is glorifying God, is it not the entire point of life? And since it is the entire point of life, the foundation of life, and especially Christian life, missions should lead to the purpose of life, which is worship, glorifying God. So we must keep in mind that when we talk about worship, I think we can do this. It'll take people making an intentional effort to discuss worship in ways that make people realize it's more than music. And so I purposely find myself trying to figure out how to discuss worship without giving the impression that worship is music. The second imperative, missions exist because worship does not. Only Christians can rightly worship God, and that's to say that one who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ does not and cannot possess the ability to worship God. And so if the goal of missions is to save people from hell by enticing them to Christianity, by dangling the carrot of heaven in front of them, the point has been missed. Many of you, if you're like me, you grew up in southern churches which had week-long revivals, or you went to church camp, and often terrible illustrations were given. How often have you seen somebody witness to someone, and they walk up to them, and the first thing they say is, "If you were to die today," I mean, what a terrible way to start a conversation, right? But what happens is people, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell? And they entice people by, oh, you could go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. But the purpose of Christianity is conformity to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. The purpose of Christianity is not to get out of hell, okay? Anything less than conformity to Christ, which is getting out of hell, is less than that. Anything less than that has missed the mark. And so those who are lost do not worship God. They cannot worship God. Only those who have a personal relationship with Christ and who are found in the seal of the Holy Spirit can worship God. It's like the question of, does God hear the prayers of those who are lost? No. That doesn't mean he can't audibly hear it. But when those who are lost pray, they do not have the mediation of Jesus Christ. Christians do. And I think that's why Paul says to pray for everyone. Because if Christians aren't praying for everyone, who is going to pray for them? So missions are necessary so that lost people taste and see the goodness of God. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he's good to all. That means even those who are lost and who die without him. And so in response, the lost need to come to a place of total surrender to him, which is worship. The greatest commandment, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, he says it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength in Luke 10:27. So to do this, is worship. And Christians should understand that the greatest commandment given to us is not to witness. A lot of people think the Great Commission is the greatest commandment, but it's not. The single greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is worship. Similarly, non-believers need to see the goodness of God and respond to him rather than obey out of necessity to save themselves from hell. So the reason believers preach the gospel to the ends of the earth in the most dangerous places and even give their lives is so that the glory and the fame of God is known. So when worship is the point of missions, we're doing the right thing. When it's not the point of missions, the message falls short, because missions exist because worship does not. The third imperative, God's supreme purpose in all he does is his own glory. That's his supreme purpose. And many might assume him then to be conceited and stuck on himself. I contend unpopularly that God certainly is stuck on himself. Okay, hear me on that. God is stuck on himself because he has no reason to be stuck on you or me or somebody lesser than him, which is everyone else. All things are from God, to God, and through God, Romans 11:36. And so everything he does is for his own glory, and rightfully so. He is the only one worthy to take on that attitude. God's call on his people to missions, therefore, stems from his overarching desire to be worshipped. And for that reason, Christians should employ missional activity with the end means in sight, namely worship. When Christians lose sight of worship, in other words, God's glory, the goal is missed. God's glory must be supreme for all Christians, okay? So I am not saying that these other purposes and reasons. For example, people being saved from hell. I'm not saying that's not noble and good, but think of it this way. If we are running a race and you have the end goal in mind, you see the finish line, but you stop 20 feet in front of the finish line, you have not finished the race, even if you get to that point before everyone else. You have, in fact, exercised futility. And so what we are talking about here is the end goal is missions. And if we stop short of that, or the end goal is worship, and if we stop in our missional endeavors short of worship, we've missed the point. We have not reached the finish line. So for the church to succeed in ministry, in conclusion, worship must become primary rather than secondary. And unfortunately, the church has discussed worship in a misleading manner, which has certainly contributed to the misconceptions about worship and sadly made worship a secondary goal. But worship needs to be primary in the church. Without placing worship at the top of a church's order of priorities, she will not succeed in ministry. And many churches, local churches, consider their overarching purpose to be reaching others, to be loving others, or leading others to Christ. But these purposes stem from the underpinning goal of worship. Missional endeavors, therefore, should be considered derivatives of the purpose of missions, worship. So when God opens the eyes of non-believers to who He is, in all His glory and splendor, their response is worship. Those of us who are Christians know that. Hopefully you have responded to who God is, not just what He can do. If instead non-believers respond to fear of hell, worship does not occur. So to achieve the end means and the purpose of the church and indeed life itself, worship needs to become primary. And worship needs to be understood as the purpose of missions. I hope this has given you some food for thought, maybe something to discuss with your friends as we seek to be conformed to the image of Christ as we become more like Him. So thank you for listening today to the Act of Worship podcast. This is Dr. Jonathan Michael Jones.